Hello and welcome to From the Rooftops, a podcast about superheroes. That's Clay.
And that's Talon.
And this week we're going to talk about the deity in superhero fiction. So, hey, gods.
Yeah.
For context, and I guess a bit of real world context is going to be relevant here, I was raised to be a preacher.
And I was raised to expect the world to end sometime during my lifetime.
Yeah. The same. Yeah. Like, my relationship to religion, it was basically a closed cult environment where I was raised to understand doctrine and catechism and hunt witches and a whole bunch of stuff. And the upshot is that I did a whole bunch of religious studies, but all filtered through, let's say, not the best possible lens.
Some of you may, if you've ever been in Alabama in public school, you'll have a context for this, because they have a course there, two courses you can take, called Bible as Literature and Bible as History. And I happen to take both, because it was a shitty class.
Oh, that's rough.
And Talon took Bible as science, Bible as reality.
Yeah.
But yes, in this context, gods in superhero fiction, they're all over the place. Not just as they are in our world, as literary concepts and social concepts, but as fucking dudes walking around. And that warps the conversation.
Right? Yeah. So, essentially, what the reason I bring up our real-world context is because both of us have a fairly deep understanding of one religion, and the process of getting out of that often involves a lot of exploring and asking questions, and that often involves learning about things like Greek myth and Roman myth and how they're very, very similar. Then we get to the situation in comics where people who definitely did not come at things from our perspective got to involve quote-unquote gods in their story. And things got real weird.
There's a tendency to view gods in fiction from people who don't personally interact with the concept of gods as just like a really strong person and not like a fundamental aspect of the universe, right?
Yeah.
And, like, again, that's, if religion is just like a social background for you and not like a thing you have to contend with on a daily basis, these are just fun stories, interesting stories, maybe with morals or ideas about how to act, but like not fucking physics, right? The way they're presented to like Talon and myself, where like, this is reality. The devil is a person and he can come in your house.
He's a dude, an actual dude wandering around. And the fact that he's actually a dude and he has like a material body is part of what limits him. Like, how is the devil not ruining everything? Well, he's not here right now. which feels like the most peekaboo bullshit vision of Lucifer.
Right. One of so in places where people talk about superhero fiction in like a serious way, and like somewhat the way we do here, the thing that gets said a lot is superhero fiction is modern myth. And most of the time when they say that, they're pointing at Greek, Roman mythology, maybe Egyptian mythology. And they're using the whole, you know, hero with a thousand faces, monomyth structure, schema, to frame it in that way.
Yeah.
And like,
The other connected element that tends to get brought up in the idea of modern myth is myth back in the era of Greek and Roman media, which is where we kind of bother to stop looking as scholars of this stuff, which also sucks. But it tended to be centered on a small number of storytellers who would retell one another's stories and also implement their own. So comic books is this space where you do actually have lots of different storytellers getting involved in a story. But
Like, there are structural connections to make there, right? Like, you can look at how a lot of this information is produced and make those connections. But also, we're not actually directly privy to how that information was produced during its time. Like, we're getting it after the fact, right? Like, you know, the fucking, God, the Eddas, you know, we're not getting that as it was made. We're getting it as it was compiled. We're getting the Bible as it was compiled. And so our interpretation of it comes from that, right? That's probably not a completely accurate way of how people living those times and those stories actually interacted with them, right?
Yeah. And like, there's a whole bunch of different interesting discussions about how those effectively religious texts were shaped by the history going on around them. Like, it was very, very common in, if you look at the historical instance of when various religious scripts were first found, they all tend to correlate very closely to having a chunk of them that says, oh, and there will be a king who's just like the current king, and he's just the bestest dude. This happens multiple times throughout the Bible, where they find a new section of the prophecies that just happens to mention the current king. And so it's not like these myths aren't shaped by the people making them. And in the context of religious texts from our history, a lot of what's going on there, it has a feedback loop where people will ditch the stories that they don't like or don't comply to their current vision of what the things should be doing. And the myth makers who know who's paying for their sandwiches, say like, oh yeah, that's an old story. It doesn't quite work anymore. And they just move on and add new stories, which is pretty much exactly what comic books do. It's a different kind of feedback loop. So like, I can see the comparison to myth there.
But like, the problem is, again, myths are religion. And that affects reality in a different way than, say, fiction, where everybody knows it's fake. We can find the people who made it, point to them and be like, hey, why did you make this? Oh, I made it like this for this reason. And like, and 9 times out of 10, the fiction tends to reflect the reality more so than it influences it, you know? And religion has an indirect effect on people in a much more overt way than fiction does. Because a lot of people out here don't have rights they should have because of the influence of the religion of their society, even if they're not a member of that religion, you know? And even if that religion doesn't have a national church, but like, Christianity is still fucking up your rights in a lot of ways. Superman ain't doing that. Like, technically, copyright law kinda is, you know, like Disney, for example, and the whole Mickey Mouse thing.
Yeah.
But that's not the same. There's space between those two ideas. And again, like I said, one of the things is the interpretation of gods as equivalent to heroes, both like in terms of superheroes, in terms of classical heroes, like, doesn't compare to the interpretation of gods as gods. The one that always gets me, because this book is so popular, is an All-Star Superman. Right? At a certain point, Samson and Atlas show up. And that bothers me. What was it? Atlas. Right. So, Atlas and Samson show up. And if you don't know, Atlas holds up the sky. Atlas is basically a physical manifestation of the concept of gravity. One of the stories about him, and this is important for what I'm about to say, is that he met Hercules once, and Hercules needed him to do something. So he's like, oh, I'll hold the sky for you for a minute and do this. And then Atlas does it, and Atlas is like, I'm gonna just fuck off. He's like, no. Somebody needs to hold the sky, and he finagles his way out of it. The point here is, Atlas is cursed to always be holding the universe together. So he cannot show up in a story and arm wrestle Superman without you addressing that.
Yeah.
Atlas is not a strong guy. Atlas is, again, a personification of the concept of gravity as understood by the people who crafted the story. The point remains, if Atlas is walking around in your story and you don't say, oh no, Hercules is holding up the earth or the sky, you done fucked up. Like, that's a fundamental misunderstanding of the nature of the character, because it's a fundamental misunderstanding of myth. These are just stories, right? It's weird. But if you're going to have those stories in your fiction, you have to treat them as if they're true to get into the mindset of the people telling them, right? And so, again, if you have Atlas in your narrative, it's not, oh, that's just a silly story. No, I'm talking about the nature of the universe when I bring these stories in the play, right? Otherwise, you're misunderstanding it, and you're to make it comparable to Superman, right? Oh, he's Superman, strong. You know, Atlas, Samson, strong guys. They get to a beef with Superman. No, because
it's not even remotely comparable. In terms of what the stories are even for, it's much more. I feel like I'm being a bit insulting with this, but it feels like someone noticed the similarity and thought, oh, that will be interesting, wrote it down and committed to it before double-checking it.
Right. Well, again, there's 1,001 stories in various mythologies about why shit is the way it is. You know, why spiders exist, why that mountain looks like that, why there's an ocean, right? There are no Superman stories about why the Earth is the way it is. The Earth already existed, and Superman is in it, right?
Yeah.
And that's the difference, right?
There is a degree to which the Superman narrative, like Superman in general, as a story space, operates around the idea of Superman's engagement with the world, but that's not the same thing as why the world is the way it is. Because the world in Superman is the way it is because Superman's in it. It's not the Now, this is where I'm going to tread on dangerous ground, because I'm going to use the word metaphysics, like the rationale for in the story, the reason the story is the way it is, as opposed to what it usually is used to mean, which is like the actual consideration of the universe as a thing that exists. So it's a fraught subject for me. But essentially, the idea of Superman's story space is one where Superman has some reason to exist and influence a world that already does exist. If Superman stops existing, cars still drive. He is the strong dude who can lift a car. He is not the reason cars exist.
Fair to make a comparison to Samson, to Hercules, to, you know, Odysseus, but you can't make the comparison to, say, Thor, and yet there Thor is, right?
Well, I mean, okay, so Thor is a thorny one in particular because, like, there are actual Odin worshippers. Like, there are real people who actually still hold that real faith.
Man, there are people out there, there are fucking people, Hellenists, you know, because I personally know people who consider themselves, you know, followers of Egyptian religions, however they interpret that.
Yep.
to a certain extent, these are old, like dead-ish religions. But that then the point is that like the nature of the story is being told, right? Like there's places in biblical fiction for powerful, impressive people, and then there's God, right? There's a difference. There's a space. Mm. The shit Abraham did is not the same as the things that God does, right?
Yeah. Indeed, for the better part, so I didn't want to go diving straight into the Bible because at this point we haven't talked about that much about the comic book versions of these ideas. But in the Bible, there is actually a chunk of Bible storytelling space which is about here is a person who is smarter, more wily, or in just in the right position at the right time, blessed by God, always blessed by God, because the purpose of the book is to reinforce the importance of being on God's side. But there is a space in that story, in that book, for what we would consider sort of superheroes. And that's the Book of Judges, which Historically speaking, there's good evidence that the Book of Judges is basically a big collection of different narratives of different smaller groups of the Israelites that all got murked at some stage in different unpleasant ways. And what hangs around are their myths, where their gods got kind of like folded into the greater scheme of things in order to make sure that, well, you know, we have these myths lying around, might as well use them. And that's guys like Samson and Gideon, and for those of you who are fans of my boy, that would be Shamgar, son of Anath, and I am at this point popping Bible school wheelies, by the way.
That's why we picked the subject, folks. I want to see him do this.
Yeah, but the other one is the other big example of a judge that tends to get trotted out is Ehud. Ehud is the one that we tend to bring up because, like, so these stories get trotted out for a purpose, right? Like, we don't deploy these narratives for no reason, and the story of Ehud tends to be given to kids who feel different or feel that they're out of place, because Ehud was a judge of Israel who was deformed in a slight way. Like, there was something wrong with him, and what was wrong with him was he was left-handed.
Which, shit like that.
Yeah, but, and by a strict reading of temple rules, that meant that he couldn't contribute to the temple, which is weird.
If folks would get it for less than that.
Yep. But this left-handedness also meant that Ehud strapped his weapon to the wrong side of his body. And when he went to meet the king, the guards searched him for weapons, and apparently they only searched the side they expected to find a weapon on. And so Ehud hid a weapon and went and visited the king because he hid it on the other side of his body.
Yeah.
So next time you think your comic book has a stupid twist...
Listen, they all have stupid twists.
Stupid fucking twists.
But...
Alright.
Yeah, this is space. In between normal person, you know, there's two spaces. One between normal person and super person, and a space between super person and fundamental aspect of the universe. And
yeah,
partially because a lot of folks experience religion as just like a general background cultural radiation. They don't engage with that idea very deeply. And so you get these things where actual gods, you know, Thor and Zeus and Ares just show up as dudes, and they're just walking around doing stuff in the same way that Batman is,
yep,
or Spider-Man is. And it's like, no, this character can't exist in your space without being a... And the other thing is, they exist simultaneously, you know? Greek gods, Egyptian gods, Asian gods, you know, Shintoists, Indian, all in the same space, all fundamentally conflicting with each other. And the fucked up thing is,
it's one of those ideas that sounds kind of fun, certainly in an almost white wolfy kind of way, where you suggest, oh hey, what if we just have all these other gods show up? And like, if you put Hercules in a story, there's always this kind of possible thought of like, well, Hercules implies the existence of the rest of the Greek gods, and the Greek gods kind of imply any of the Roman gods as hangers-on, and there's a certain degree to which, you know, existing stuff in our society and our culture just kind of snaps onto that spot like Lego bricks. And it's awkward when you start then involving other cultures' gods, because they don't comply with even the same vague vision of how reality works.
Yeah. But you, one of the most fucked up thing about it, the one that always bugs the shit out of me, is you will almost never see God of the Bible and Jesus Christ as figures in these stories. 9 times out of 10, they'll be up there.
You will very occasionally get references to Yahweh or the Elohim. Mm-hmm. But that's a Mormon thing.
Yeah.
The Elohim, Yahweh is... Yahweh is
original Hebrew name of God.
Yeah.
Yahweh, Jehovah, which is like a mispronunciation of Yahweh, I think. Like,
yeah, yeah, Jehovah is Yahweh red English. It's red backwards.
Right. But, yeah.
Which, as far as typos go, is pretty impressive, you know?
And honestly, from my experience, my perspective, the only reason that works like that is because people with power actually worship these figures. So, you can make fucking Ra whatever you want, but you can't have Jesus show up and get in a fight with Lex Luthor, because somebody will get mad, right? Not just get mad, but get mad and use the position as a United States senator or some shit to fuck with you in a way that,
yeah,
historically, you know, various pagans and, you know, non-Western religions haven't had in the environment where these books are being made, right?
Yeah. Now, there's an added element of the weird metaphysics that happens here where... okay, so comics as we currently conceive of them are, as a medium, pretty old. About 90 years, give or take. Not a bad estimate.
I'll round that to 100.
And this means that they have changed over that time, and they are reflecting a lot of things that go on in the culture. Like, there was a point where Speedy and Robin were like, segregation's all right. And, you know, now obviously they're very much not in that camp. And the view on religion and religious figures in comics carries with it hallmarks of various trends from history. The biggest one I'm thinking of being the ancient aliens conspiracy that Jack Kirby fucking loved.
Here's my thing, though. So, yeah, Jack Kirby was Jewish. So, you know, follow Hebrew religion. Did he ever say that Yahweh was an alien? That's the question, right?
I don't know. And I'd like to think that if he actually did go to his editors and say, hey, can I put actual Yahweh in my book? We'd have heard? Like, that seems like the kind of anecdote that gets into an editor's notes.
Yeah. That's the thing, because in DC you have this thing called the presence, and it's almost universally referred to, like, not textually, but subtextually as the Christian God. And it's the, or sometimes in Marvel or DC they're called, like, the one above all, or the presence, or the voice. There's always something above all this other shit we're dealing with, and that something is almost universally treated to be the God that people with money worship, right? So, in that context, it really doesn't fucking matter if Atlas is walking around, because Atlas isn't real. Not in the way that God is. And a lot of times, in both of these, most superhero settings, you'll have demons and angels. Not biblical angels,
and
but, you know, modern conceptions of angels.
Yeah, and then you get weird, oddball situations where the X-Men made a mutant Satan and gave him a mutant hell?
Well, according to Marvel cosmology, there's like four or five different hells.
Yeah. And that's mostly writers getting started making something and then someone else coming along later and having to patch it all together.
Yeah.
Raven's parentage is in the same boat of, well, it's hell-ish.
No. In the original Teen Titans book, it was always a space demon. Like, out there. They made a point to go to space.
Yeah, but also, this is the same setting that has the New Gods, so...
Yeah.
Kinda. Maybe.
But, like, Etrigan comes from hell. Etrigan's like, nah, I'm from hell with the devil. As here. You know?
Yeah.
Like, they established a difference there. It's more clear-cut in DC than it is in Marvel, because shit gets retconned. Like, for example, originally, Ghost Rider made sacrifices and shit to summon Satan, the devil, and get, you know, his whole situation. And then they would retcon it to be Mephisto, because Mephisto was the devil they were using a lot, right? And Mephisto has his own...
See, also, One More Day, because, you know, he's... In One More Day, Mephisto is Satan. He is so fucking Satan. He is absolutely 100% a Satan. It's just...
He's
called Mephisto.
There's like four of them. There's Mephisto, there's Satanish, there's Belasco, there's fucking the dude who's Azazel, and then there's Satan, who comes and goes. So, like,
yeah. And oh, and in DC Comics, this all gets intersect with Hellblazer.
Yeah, you know, there's Satan, there's fucking Neron, there's the fucking, like, I can go forever, and if we get.
There's also, if I remember correctly, thanks to Hellblazer, DC Universe also has The One, or I think it's The First.
That's not the God presence. That's like, I want to say it's the Lucifer dude, the Fallen, or whatever the fuck.
It's the first character, in Universe, it's the first character to ever sin.
Yeah.
And taught it to Satan. Sorry, taught it to Lucifer, who then... You know, it's like, this sitting thing, this is awesome. I'm totally going to do this. This seems like a great idea.
Right. But this is all for the devil episode we're going to do one day. To get back to where we came from is...
But not today, Satan.
Right. All this shit to say, all of this can show up, but not God. Right?
Yep.
Not Yahweh, not Jehovah, not I Am, or, you know, Isha, not any of that. And very rarely anybody of note from the fiction, right? Moses won't show up, right? Abraham won't show up. Muhammad won't show up.
Yeah, you're not going to see fucking Isaac. You might see a reference to them. Yeah, you might see like a little hat tip, but...
Yeah. But they're not just going to show up and do stuff the way Ra does, the way Beowulf might, you know?
And I mean, perennial friend of the show, Moon Knight, even invented other Egyptian gods.
Cliff Notes, no, he didn't, actually. I had to look it up. Khonshu is real, very minor, but he's there.
But, and at this point you're asking, is it just taking the name, though?
Right, like, Kunlun is A, real mountain range, and B, a real thing in fiction, and, you know, Chinese fiction. But were they just referencing Shangri-La, the made-up concept by white people about Asian people? And want to use a name?
Man, culture is fucking complicated.
Right. But, like, this is the thing, right? A fucking Raijin shows up, right? With his drum. And he's drumming thunder. Like, that implies that all of the thunder in your setting comes from that dude right there, right? And if he's not drumming the thunder, should be no thunder. But there's, you know?
Yeah. Now, so... One of the reasons that we got in on this whole deity thing, and honestly, this is like a half hour preamble to where this conversation usually starts for us, which is comic books. Okay, historically speaking, there is a division between Marvel and DC, and one of the lines that people have used to promote Marvel against DC, like the idea that Marvel good, DC bad, is that Marvel has characters who are people. And DC is too high-powered because it's got Superman in it. And all the Superman-level threats.
Thor is an actual god. An actual god! And, like, at the end of it, Superman's just a strong dude. Like,
yeah.
Thor is a 100,000-year-old god. From a major character, even when, like, in reality, he's not. Like, they insisted on Thor's importance. More than DC insists on Superman's importance. Until he got that, right? They pushed him like Roman Reigns for decades. So, shut the fuck up. I'm sorry. Get out of my face with that. It's just, no. There are more...
Yeah.
I apologize for the
He apologizes for the... Well, okay, no, Clay doesn't apologize for any of this. But the point... Like, the length, the severity of it is there, because, like, absolutely right. Like, Superman is, as far as, especially if we want to go back to pre-Crisis and start doing number crunching, Superman is preposterous. Superman at one point drags a planet out of our solar system, puts it in another solar system in the course of a day, and populates that planet with life, which I have to assume does not involve super jerking off. But... Yeah. No, this is a classy podcast. But, like, the conception of Superman as being, like, this rooftop on power is very true, but you got to remember that in each of these universes, can do stuff better than everyone else can do stuff is not actually a power level compared to literally sets the rules for what stuff could be done. And there are characters who are like that. Like, Loki and Thor are kind of a bad example because, like, Nordic myth, as we understand it in our, like, our current history, is pretty chill. It is very big, goofy heroes doing shit kind of storytelling, because that's the kind of storytelling that we had access, that those kind of stories tells. But, it's not like, and this is where we go to the Jack Kirby New God thing. There are characters in the DC universe who may be responsible for the pyramids.
So, like, this ties into the idea that people are, A, willing to get details wrong about stories that aren't theirs, they're not associated with, more than ones that they are associated with, right? Like, people can tell all kind of dumbass stories about Egypt and Egyptian gods because, oh, those are made-up stories from over there. Those people made those up. I'm going to avoid...
Yeah, which is super fucking racist. Just,
But, again, that's that narrative versus...
I'm not telling anyone anything new here.
But that's against that narrative of, like, delicately skirting around, like, you know, mainstream religious concepts, right? You can have 1,000 demons and angels and shit, but you'll never be able to say, here's what God is like, here's his face, here's his, you know, house, yada, 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 because now you're to a...
Yowie, yow, yow. I was already going to hell. I'm going to hell for that one, too.
That's so fucking stupid.
He's mad that I made him laugh at that now.
But right, even if, again, and a lot of these writers may or may not publicly identify or self-identify as capital C Christians in some way, but
faith.
But they live in that world, and they experience the world through that lens, even if they don't know it, right? Because of the influence it has had. Yeah. Again, Christianity seeps into our society, even if we don't want it to, because of, you know, colonialism. And war and all that shit. So they'll avoid that. It's all fun made up stories when it's, you know, when it's Raijin, when it's Ra, when it's Zeus. But it's real when it's God, even though there's no real difference. It's all mythology. But it's culture, it's history, it's something important when it's that. And because of that, you have these things where they'll come up with ways where, you know, oh, all the gods are, you know, aliens. Or all the demons are from another dimension, you know? Oh, there's 5 Satans, and they're all equally powerful and not really the adversary and the source of all evil. They're just dudes with horns, because you can wiggle around that. Like, what would an atheist superhero universe even look like? Right? If it's a universe, not just a singular story where nobody ever talks about it, but one where, like, no, we went looking for a god, we found nothing, move on with our lives, right? Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, you are like that. That question of metaphysics is what we call in theology a theodicy, of like, you know, how is the world like this if God is responsible for it? And you know, fixing theodicy is one of those things that religious studies have been trying to do for a very bloody long time. It's not an easy field to be in. Especially if your vision of God is like all powerful and all benevolent, which, you know, I mean, the Greek gods, to an extent, Hercules kind of got this right, because like, why do the gods do weird, dumb, thoughtless shit? And it's like, well, because they're weird, dumb, thoughtless assholes. Oh, well, okay, actually that tracks.
You can actually look at most of the mythologies where like the personification of these aspects of the universe is probably a better, like, explanation for how things worked that observably worked, because it's like, sometimes shit just happens, right? Sometimes you get struck by life.
Why does winter happen? Why do the gods do Upwinter? Well, it's a territory dispute between a mother-in-law and a hot goth boy.
If you know the whole, the idea that God is all loving is more of a modern thing to get people into it.
It is absolutely, and in this case, modern, referring to printing press era onward, puritanical. Like, we aren't saying it is a 21st century invention. The Quakers and Puritans, and it's very much a Christian thing as well. And it was used as a recruitment thing. Like, they would often say to people who they were going and missionarying at that, oh, yeah, like, you know, your gods are random and capricious and total dickholes. Because they're secretly
demons.
And our god is loving and...
And
like... That's not good. It's not right, but you know, it's at least a thing. You can see how the idea persisted, especially when you remember that these people's idea of benevolence included he will kill you young so you can go to heaven quicker.
And but the that's so fucked up. It's so real.
It's so super real. Fucked up, man. Puritanism, not even once.
That's the thing, right? A lot of these old religious narratives were lenses that people used to understand the world around them. Whereas, like, superhero fiction in many cases is a commentary of the world around them. And that's the other thing. Superhero narratives, as we said before, take place nowish. And part of nowish is
the
influence of religion on our society, right? And so you kind of have to navigate that space where it's like, okay, so Christianity, if it's now, and if it's real world America, then Christianity exists. Islam exists. You know, Judaism exists. Hinduism, Buddhism exists. And they have an influence.
And to an extent, that's powerful and valuable. Look at the resonance that Kamala Khan has been able to get by dint of just being a practicing Muslim. Like, there's a whole generation of comic fans who knew nobody who was close to them on that front.
Also that whole, like, normal thing, right? Because there's a fucking website you can look up that shows, like, the supposed religious affiliations of lots of superheroes, and a lot of them being, air quotes, normal, or some kind of default Christian, you know, Protestant, maybe Baptist, you know, a smattering of culturally Jewish people, and, like, the thing, and...
Yeah. Which is especially weird because, like, okay, so this is a slight derail, but who is the most prominently Jewish superhero character?
Right.
It's two names, like, right?
Like, even not really actually, right? Like, yeah, I guess the thing's Jewish, but like
you got the thing and you got Magneto.
I'm sorry, my brain categorizes them different, but
and like I. Yeah, and like, there's someone who's specifically a Jesuit, and whose name completely escapes me. Like, that's how connected these things are. And the Spectre, if I remember correctly, the Spectre is explicitly Old Testament God. So I guess kind of Jewish.
This is a question of faith versus knowledge. Like, are you a follower of a religion if you met the God? Or do you just work for that guy, right?
Yeah, and that is also a really interesting and honestly kind of horrifying question. In Terry Pratchett's The Discworld series, there's a phrase in the very first Witches book, which is, I think, Weird Sisters, where it says that witches don't believe in gods. It would be like believing in the postman, because... They don't need, they're there. They meet the gods. The gods, and these are like, you know, in this case, they're talking about like old gods of the earth, Celtic things, the Lord under the mountain, all that beautifully creepy fairy shit that I just love so much. Right. But when we seem to have in our minds a very easy grapple with the idea that believing in something is an act. And it is a act distinct from other similar acts.
you want to get real in a weird, fucked up place.
Right?
Haven't been thrust into religious arguments, I will hear people, like, immediately say that the Bible hasn't scientifically proven and verified and shit, and then not follow that up and not debate the conversation. And I'm like, the real thing that was happening is your faith is weak then, because you're convincing yourself that you know something so that you don't have to believe it in the face of evidence, right? Like, oh, this is true, and I know it. You don't know that.
Yeah.
It's not true, but you're saying you know it.
Yeah. And, like, this is obviously getting into territory which has been very contentious for me personally, because, again, small Christian fundamentalist cult, lots of anti-science, lots of alternate medicine stuff, people, like, you know, knowing what was true. I was explicitly taught, in fact, there's a page from one of my school books which has, like, it's labeled, like, the true scientific method, and it has a hand pointing at a Bible, which is the Bible, sorry, God said it, the Bible states it, therefore it's true. And, like, that kind of thinking is very fraught for me. So I know that I get confrontational and combative, and I don't want to be a total shithead about various different superhero characters being religious. But contextually speaking, they exist in universes where verifiably they have met, in some cases, met the god of someone else's religion and not their own.
All any one dude has to go is be like, nah, Asgard's over there. It's a planet. Not God, he's an alien, and then boom, you're good. You can go to church and not think about it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Also, bonus. This is a weird thing that of all people, C.S. Lewis used to grapple with. Like, the Narnia books got their kickoff because C.S. Lewis was sitting around going, "Well, if there's alien life, Jesus had to go to them too, right? Like, God did say." Death entered the world by Adam and Eve, so that must have entered the world on other planets as well. So his vision was that God sent his son to every planet with sentient life, or that it was the job of humans on Earth to travel into space to spread the word of Jesus.
You see, Jesus is a fourth dimensional being. He's actually just a quasi, like, blob. So there's a Jesus blob. On every planet, like,
well, I mean, finger. We're all four-dimensional beings, dude.
Did Grant Morrison tell you that?
Anyway, and this dimensionality, this whole, like, deliberately weird attitude towards, you know, this whole conception of outer space is basically the next frontier of the missionary experience. It's like, you know. Like, at least he was thinking about it, I guess. Like, that's kind of remarkable.
I would rather us go to war with aliens than try to convert them. It's like, I would rather we just try to eat the people. Like, yo, aliens, food. Like, I would rather that.
So, like, there, right there, you have, like, an interesting question of, like, how these things intersect. So that's fun. But is there anything you can think of that's been done with, like, the faith in comics, like, the deity, the presence of the deity, that isn't, like, that cynical, I guess?
Like, at this point, it's just another word for strong dude, right? It's just a way to say superhero with extra gravitas, right?
Yeah. And I mean, like, I guess there's also... You do very occasionally get some Greek myth style shit where there's I want to say that one of the new gods has Achilles's heel, like, literally can only take damage from one particular part of his body. But damn, do I can remember who. I mean,
the fucking Spear of Destiny is a constantly reoccurring thing in DC Comics.
Yeah,
like, the first season of Legends of Tomorrow was all about Spear of Destiny, so that was neat. But it, and that implies something. I would love, like, so, hey folks, here we go. Tomb of Dracula books, you know, crosses pop up a lot. It's fucking vampires. One of the things that happens is, like, people will try to use crosses And it's like, it's not just the cross, it's the faith. And you see this in certain, like, settings. It's not just the cross, it's the belief.
Yeah.
And there's like a good Blade story where he's, like, stuck in, like, a vampire dungeon. And he's, like, stuck. He's, like, and it reaches a point where he has lost faith. And so the cross ceases to work. He's still fucking Blade. So, like, what are they going to do, turn you? But whatever. He's there with someone else. And so it ends up being the other person's faith and the arrangement of, like, a cross shadow across a large swath of people that saves him, right? Because, you know...
Yeah.
This is very, you know, replacement media, but the power of faith in this setting has an influence. It's not just doing things, it's believing in it, right? But at the same time,
you
can also just stab him. Just stab. Right?
Now, there is... Interestingly, there's a wing of, like, okay, so to drag this onto game studies, because I'm that guy, there is a idea in the writing of a guy called Bernard Suits, who I like quite a bit, Canadian philosopher, apparently quite a nice bloke, looks like your dad's drinking buddy, but, like, not weird, and he had the idea... So, like, one of the questions that plagues game studies is, okay, but what's a game really? Like, really, really, what's a game? And this is a question that, like, just eats up so much cardboard. We talk about it so much. And Suits' definition, amongst other things, included the idea that a game is defined by when you adopt what he called a losery attitude. From the, you know, looks like the word luxury, but it's got an S in it, right? And his stance was the attitude that you shift into when you play a game is the thing that makes it a game. And that idea is very appealing because people can go, oh, yeah, I can tell that there's something going on in my brain. I can feel to some extent that that is meaningfully different. And that's what I think kind of kicks in around the base of this whole conversation about vampires, faith, and knowing. Because we kind of have it in our heads that we can tell there's a difference between believing something is true, knowing something is true, and having faith. And I think a lot of times faith is kind of this get out clause for knowing you have doubts.
So, like, one of the concepts I've been grappling with is the idea that, you know, the nature of the supernatural is that science can't prove it exists or unexists or doesn't exist. Unexist. Wow. Because that's the nature of it. It's a thing that exists outside that concept. But, like,
yeah,
if it cannot be proven to exist or do not exist, then it, in effect, doesn't, right?
I mean,
and so
yeah,
that is how I operate. If you can't prove it's real and I can't prove it's not real, then it's irrelevant. Moving on. And
yeah,
in the face of that, I feel like,
and
if you can still believe in something in the face of that, that's faith. Because it's, in much the same way that I say the subject is irrelevant because it is not impactful to me, you say the subject is important in spite of that, that's faith. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a degree to which it's one of those things where we say the term, sorry, when we say that the question is malformed because we can tell there's something wrong with just how it's being asked if the whole thing can be dismissed.
And again, in a superhero setting, it's like, you get back to, like, the culture of their religion, right? You have these guys, how many of them are, like, actively practicing instead of just kind of generic American Christians, right? Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. Like, you'll occasionally see jokes about this stuff at a wedding episode as well. Like, the whole reason we learned that Ben Grimm was Jewish was because he, you know what? I don't know the terms for this. They did a Jewish wedding, right? I don't know how to phrase it that doesn't make it clear what an absolute ignorant chode I am. Ben Grimm's wedding in the Marvel Universe was a Jewish wedding. And, like, it was almost done as, like, a gag.
The thing about it is, for any character for who is actively Christian becomes an extreme thing. It's Daredevil and all of his Catholic-esque shit. Like, and he's using a lot of Catholic trappings, but, like, it's an important aspect of that character, right? In a way that it's not for a bunch of presumably other Christian characters. So, generally speaking, Spider-Man doesn't remember One More Day. But also, Spider-Man is supposedly some type of Protestant, I think, or Methodist.
It has varied. They did a bit in Into the Spider-Verse, where in one universe he was Jewish and one he wasn't.
That's also like a cultural thing, where it's like, but because of stereotypes about Jewish men, these things get attached to Pete, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and there's also a thing where, almost as a hat tip to the origin points for a lot of these characters, you will see Jewish weddings used for a lot of superhero characters, like, as a bit. Something to do with how, like, a bunch of Jewish guys are kind of responsible for this industry existing in the first place.
Ultimate Spider-Man. And he has a lot of Yiddish phrases. I think he's just, you know, he's from New York and he's like that. And he starts saying shit. And so it's like, what the fuck did you just say? It's like, oh, it's Yiddish. You know Yiddish. I picked it up. You should put it back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, speaking from experience, I picked up a whole bunch of Yiddish because I watched The Nanny.
Oh, is that where?
Yeah.
This is why I say, like, we're the same guy separated across the globe, because I also picked up a lot of Jewish shit from watching The Nanny. Frank Fisher's hot, y'all. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and just, like, it was swears I could use. Like, I could tell that the same energy was being put behind some of these words that I couldn't use. And they're like, don't use that word. What does it mean? I don't know. Okay.
For years, me and my homeboys walked around sounding like Chinese grandfathers because we watched the Jackie Chan cartoon. And we
just, restrictions breed creativity. And in my case, I was restricted from swearing. So I watched a lot of Fran Drescher comedy. That doesn't sound very cool when I say it aloud like that.
That show is good, though. I like that show.
Also, apparently she's absolutely awesome now. Like her whole Twitter feed is just like, yeah, burn everything down. Fuck this, fuck that, fuck that guy.
Hey, man. That's cool. What was that quiet disappointment? Like, oh, man, did this one go bad? I haven't heard from them in a while. Did they go bad?
Yeah. Anyway. So, what you've heard here is basically an hour of a couple of former church boys talking about superheroes and comics and coming to no meaningful conclusion.
What I want more than anything from, like, the academic wing of superhero studies is to stop saying the phrase modern myth, because superheroes aren't the modern myth. Capitalism is. Okay? That is the thing. That's the lie that people tell to each other about the world and how it works and what justice is and why everything is.
So, there's this phrase, and I hope to God I'm getting this right. I'm attributing it to the right person. I know it via a guy called C.L.R. James. And he said once, capitalism creates its own metaphysics, which is the idea that capitalism sets. Wait, no, this is Decatur? Oh God, it's an Italian name. I can't get it right. It's in Games of Empire for anyone who wants to look up my citations. But the idea that capitalism constructs the rules whereby capitalism can be judged, which means that every anti-capitalist statement is not judged on its own merits, but is instead judged on how well it meshes with the rules that capitalism set. It's a rigged game.
We have new mythology, and it doesn't look the way the old mythology does, right?
Not
on its surface. But we still have these, you know, lies about the heroes who founded our countries, the evil being people who lived there before, and, you know, created these rules. We have those myths. And they're tied to some myths that are still pretty fucking old, right? Like, we say new mythology as if, like, Christianity and the religions we have aren't right there. Fucking Hinduism is older than most Greek mythology, and it's still going. So, like, when we talk about new, we're looking through a very specific very small lens and were unwilling to explore new ideas. And the thing is, I say the academic circle, like, I'm talking about the ones who are loud, because you hear this a lot from dudes who get hired to do commentary tracks on superhero movies. And there's probably a lot more meaningful discussion happening in these schools, probably by the students more so than the people who teach them, because a lot of times those are the same guys, right? They go do those commentary tracks when school let them.
Yeah. Fundamentally, what we are dealing with here is a sequence of spotlights. It's limited lenses being used, and not in bad faith, but like, there's a reason I've taken to mentioning the books I'm getting these ideas from, because I want to make it clear that this is my lens. This is where I'm coming at this stuff from. And that doesn't mean I'm right. All it means is that I did some readings.
It is this thing of, you know, interpreting religion, interpreting mythology, interpreting what God is through what you've already been given. And like, you have to go out of your way. You have to sometimes even invent new ways to get to shit just to, you know, expand that horizon, because everything is built to work in the way that's already been made to work, right? It's designed to be self-perpetuating. And that's damaging. That's damaging to our understanding of ourselves, of the world, of the stories we tell. And it's one of, but not the reason things are so fucked up right now, right?
Yeah.
And I'm reaching here.
The term you are... No, you're not even reaching. The term you are brushing against there, by the way, is alienation.
Mm.
You can find that in the works of Karl Marx.
But yeah.
Anyway, remember, John Henry's a superhero, and he doesn't get to win, which is bullshit.
What is Steel doing right now?
God, why would you ask me?
I mean, I'm asking the internet, but if you have an answer...
All right. Well, wait, hang on. We've had a mention of Blade already.
Yeah!
Fuck!
And a Daredevil one. But hey, guess what?
Yeah! No Hulk shit! One. All right. Well, fine. I guess I got wrecked on this one. Anyway, that was From the Rooftops, a podcast about superheroes, and that was Clay.
That was Stalin.
Yeah, that's cool. Have a good one, man. Poop on company time. Yeah.